Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities. And most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here's your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. Hey, we're going to talk about some of my favorite subjects, especially shrooms, man. I love mushrooms. I love them whether they alter your mind or not, because every kind of mushroom has some healing properties to it. We're going to talk about some mushrooms today, and we're going to talk about some other things today that have some benefits to your body. And they may or may not be legal right now, but they were at some point. And actually, I think this guy is my long-lost brother, because he knows the people that I studied to get one of my doctorates. My first doctorate is in technical education, so I didn't study anybody there. That was mostly computers and stuff. But my second doctorate, it was in clinical hypnotherapy and alternative medicine. And boy, everybody in his book, I studied. And I wish I could have met them, but he did, and he worked with them, and I'm so jealous. So I am going to introduce you to Dr. Richard Lewis Miller, who wrote a wonderful book. And the reason I say he's my long-lost brother is my first radio show back in the 80s was called Mind, Body, and Spirit. And he had a radio show, and I don't know if you're still doing that, called Mind, Body, Health, and Politics. Now, I've learned to keep the politics and religion out of my shows because I only have an hour-long show. And if you put the politics in there, you could be debating forever. But obviously, we think along the same lines. So I would like to introduce you to Dr. Richard Lewis Miller. And I think we have some pretty interesting things in common. He wrote a terrific book, which we're going to talk about today, Psychedelic Medicine. So, Dr. Miller, how did you get into this?
Well, thank you for that introduction, Dr. Red. The story goes back a very long time. I was teaching at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and I was influenced by the work of two clinical psychologists who were working on the faculty of Harvard University, Timothy Leary and Richard Alpert. And, of course, as we all know, they were fired from Harvard for their research into psilocybin mushrooms with incarcerated prisoners. And, of course, that was a shot across the bow, because at the time I thought that people of science would not get fired from major universities for doing their science. So that was shocking. But then I looked into it further, and they had a book that they had published called The Tibetan Book of the Dead. And ooh. I read the book, and in the book, it said that if you ate morning glory seeds of a particular variety, heavenly blue or pearly gates, which were all readily available at every feed store or garden supply store, then you would have a psychedelic LSD-like experience. So as a good young scientist, I mean, we're going back now 40 years, more than 40 years, I went out and bought the pearly gates and the heavenly blue, and along with another colleague and a couple of people to watch us, we ingested the seeds. And I had the most remarkable experience of my life. In fact, in some ways, I felt that perhaps I'd learned more in that experience than I had throughout my 11 years of college. Because
wow.
the depth of the wisdom that was transmitted to me through this experience was breathtaking.
I wasted all this time learning to meditate.
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that, because I should fast forward, 45 years. I'll come back to my answer to your question and fast forward 45 years to a meeting I had with very high-ranking bishops and ministers at several churches. These are national high-ranking people. And we had a meeting to discuss the possibility of using psychedelic medicine with young seminarians as a way to speed up the process of their having what we refer to as entheogenic experiences, embracing the awe of it all, which sometimes can take 10 or 20 years in meditation, but in a psychedelic, with a psychedelic medicine used properly in the right circumstances with the correct protocol, can allow one to achieve that kind of experience very rapidly. And so there is work being done, in answer to that, your second question, there is work being done by some of the ministries in the United States very, very carefully, because they're a very conservative group, and engaging in research with psychedelics is way out of their arena. But cutting back to me, back in the mid-60s, so I had this experience with the heavenly blue and the pearly gates, a la Leary and Alpert, and my life was changed. And I knew that that there was material here that was very important for the field of psychology, which I was in, and also, you know, for the benefit of mankind in general, because of the healing potential of these medicines. Well, of course, soon thereafter, I think it was 1967, that LSD became illegal. I was very fortunate to have been administered MDMA in my therapist's office while it was still legal, but then it became illegal in 1985, which precluded us from using it with couples. And as many of your listeners know, there's been a major obstacle course presented by the United States government to suppress even the highest levels of university research into these psychedelic medicines for at least 50 years. It's a travesty. But however, within that suppressive atmosphere that our government has perpetrated upon us, there have been a handful of courageous scientists at Johns Hopkins University, UCLA Medical. Johns Hopkins is Roland Griffiths, UCLA Medical, Charlie Grobe, University of Indiana, Dr. Dave Nichols, and all the other, many of the others who are in my book, Psychedelic Medicine. And these courageous scientists, Dr. Red, they kept poking at the government, asking for permission, groveling, begging, give us permission to do some high-level university science. And some of them were allowed over time. And as they were allowed to do the research, they, of course, published the research. And most of the people in my book, in fact, actually all the people in the book, are colleagues of mine that I know personally, and I've been in touch with over decades, so that when they were finally able to do some of their research, I was in touch with them, and I interviewed them and brought them all together in one place, and that was the founding of the book, Psychedelic Medicine, which goes into detail with these various scientists on four major psychedelic medicines that have huge potential for healing and consciousness expansion, the four being LSD, MDMA, psilocybin, and ayahuasca. So that's a quick summary of how I got into this.
Wow. Okay, so we have 3 minutes before the first break, so you can tell us what the four are, and then when we come back, we can go into a little detail of what they are and what they do. So I think everybody knows what LSD is. I'm not sure people know what MDMA is. I think they might have heard of it a little bit.
Okay, so well, yes, I think a lot of people know about MDMA as well. But just going back just for a moment to LSD, I don't know whether people know about it or they know of it. But there's a big difference, because the healing potential and the creative potential of LSD is beyond our imagination. And I want to be able to come back to that during the interview and go into some detail about what I mean by beyond our imagination. But LSD is used primarily to heal old wounds, psychological, to heal trauma, and to expand consciousness for problem solving. Carl Sagan, the astrophysicist, used LSD in his discoveries. The people, Watson and Crick, who did the DNA molecule, discovered it, used LSD in their discoveries. And Steve Jobs of Apple used LSD in his discoveries. In those cases, they take LSD with the specific intention of solving a scientific problem. And it's extremely powerful because, as the Countess Amanda Fielding in England has demonstrated to us by giving us MRIs of the brain on LSD, it shows us that what LSD does is it allows us to contact and utilize areas of the brain that we do not have access to under normal conditions.
When we come back, we'll talk about the advances in science that let us see things like functional MRIs, that let us see what these drugs can do for you.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need success no therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
How are you doing in your life? Do you control your life, or does it control you? In our hectic, overconnected world, do you spend too much time feeling tired and wired? Tune in to Master Your Life with hosts Leah Mattinson and Dr. Howard Rankin for inspiration, insight, and intelligence on how to gain control of yourself and your life. Along with some inspirational and knowledgeable guests, Leah and Howard will give you the tools needed to help you on your journey. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, y'all, and we're here with the Angel of Altered States, Dr. Richard Lewis Miller. And we were just discussing LSD, and LSD, that's the first altered state drug that I ever heard about. And Timothy Leary was my god when I was going through college, because he knew how to achieve an altered state. And I worked really, really hard to do that on my own. And it was not easy. Unfortunately, it became illegal about the time I learned that you could do that. So, yeah, tell us a little bit more about LSD. And we were talking about the machines. Now they have functional MRIs where you can actually see what a drug does or does not do to your brain. They didn't have that in those days. so they didn't know what he was doing.
That's right, Dr. Red. We've made great advances, and that has allowed us to do visual images of the brain. And as I mentioned in the previous section, Amanda Fielding in England has presented slides to the world of the brain on LSD. In fact, the slides were published in the New York Times, and if your listeners want to go to the New York Times and type in there Amanda Fielding, I'm sure they can see the actual images of the brain. They're very exciting to look at when you see that the brain not on LSD, what areas of it are lit up and activated, and then what the brain looks like with the administration of the LSD, how much more of the brain is activated and that we have access to. And that is so important.
I like the part you talked about how LSD gets more parts of your brain talking to each other.
Yes, it gets many more parts talking to each other and allows us to act. It's sort of like you have a computer on your desk, and ordinarily you can only get to about 10 or 15% of use. And then somebody gives you a little something that you stick into the USB port on the side, and all of a sudden you have access to the entire computer. What a change. You now have access to the other 85%, and you've got a supercomputer on your hands. And when done properly, and I've got to keep underlining properly, because these medicines are extremely powerful, they must be used properly, and I'll go into what properly means if I have a chance later on in the program. But these should be carefully, very carefully, methodically. I can't underemphasize enough that they have to be carefully utilized as medicines, because when they are not carefully utilized as medicines, they become drugs. And when they become drugs, they're dangerous. And that is so important to know, that you're dealing with things that have huge potential. The second one in my book that you referenced, Dr. Red, is MDMA. Now, MDMA has been around for a very long time, but it was made illegal in 1985. A lot of people have heard about it because, in addition to being a powerful medicine, it's also a recreational street drug. And it goes by the name of ecstasy. It goes by the name of Molly. Those are two of the many names that it's called. A word of warning here. When we go around the United States buying samples of the street drug ecstasy, we rarely ever find pure ecstasy. What we mostly find are adulterants of all kinds. So that the people who are taking, and of course, anytime you're taking something that you buy on the street, there's a risk because you don't know what it is. You're not getting it from an authorized manufacturer. And that's a sad state of affairs when you have a government that suppresses certain substances for people to use in the privacy of their home or under a supervision of a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So the government's made it illegal even for professionals like myself and yourself to utilize these medicines. And so whenever that happens, going back thousands of years, whenever a government makes something illegal that people want, people immediately start buying it, but they buy it on the black market. And of course, one of the outcomings of this is it creates a criminal enterprise. And that's very unfortunate that in this country, we outlawed alcohol in the 30s, and so we created the mafia because they were happy to supply alcohol to the American public. And by supplying alcohol to the American public, the mafia became one of the richest organizations in the country because they had the monopoly on an illegal substance. Fast forward, we've made marijuana illegal and LSD illegal and MDA illegal and psilocybin illegal and ayahuasca illegal. And, of course, criminal elements then jump right in and they start supplying this because 26 million people in the United States have experimented with LSD. Tens of millions have tried ecstasy, whatever they're getting on the street. And all the money for all of this are going to criminal cartels. So, again, prohibition with alcohol, we created the mafia. with what's called the drug wars. We created the narco-terrorists and the criminal cartels. It's a very unfortunate situation. Getting back to our drug, yeah, it really is, Doctor. It's a terrible thing. I mean, we've got whole countries now that are being run by narco-traficantes. Mexico is one of them. The marijuana business is so huge in Mexico. And I think many of your listeners also know what happened in Colombia. Down in Colombia, Escobar, the Colombian coke lord, became so wealthy he was listed in Forbes magazine as one of the 8 richest men in the world, and he bought his way right into Congress and he almost took over the country.
I live on the border in San Diego, so we have lots of fun with the drug runners.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So getting back to the medicines themselves, MDMA has huge potential in couples therapy because it's a heart-opening medicine.
Huh.
It lowers people's psychological defenses. People who might ordinarily respond to a question with, "Why are you asking me that?" Taking this medicine might say, "I'd like to hear more about where you're coming from." It changes defensiveness into inquiry. It changes anger into compassion and empathy.
Now, is this the one you were using for PTSD?
This is the medicine that's being used in Israel for PTSD with the people who have seen terrible things there, body parts flying around and so on. I went to Israel with a group of scientists some years ago. This is sort of an interesting but sad story, Dr. Red. I went with high-level scientists from our country. We met with the head of the Supreme Court in Israel. We met with their top psychiatrist, the head of their Institute of Health, their National Institute. And they were all very excited about the possibility of using this MDMA with their post-traumatic stress survivors. Remember, this was 10 years ago. They were already seeing, because of the intifada, they were already seeing body parts flying around in their cities.
Yeah.
It's terrifying for a human being to be sitting in a restaurant or in their apartment, and all of a sudden a human hand or a head or a body part flies right at them and is laying there. It's terrifying. And it does damage to the psyche. And so the Israelis so much wanted to use this medicine, but when they had their meetings, what they came back to us and said was, "We would love to use this medicine with our post-traumatic stress victims, but we cannot do so because if we do so, the United States government will sanction us because the United States government has declared this medicine illegal, and they have gone around the United States, around the world, through the United Nations, and had other countries either declare it illegal or make it impossible for scientists to use it." That was a sad event in my life when I encountered that, because it meant that hundreds or thousands of post-traumatic stress survivors would be denied a new treatment, which was arguably the best treatment we've ever come up with for rapid remission of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right.
Fast forward. Yes, so we have it in this country. People are using it sub rosa. They're all taking a risk because of doing it illegally. And that's another one of the sad aspects of our government suppressing science, because when you suppress people from taking something that they know and have learned from their friends is not harmful, they're going to go and do it. But by doing it, they're doing something illegal. So what you're doing is you're taking basically honest citizens and turning them into criminals. And this is not a good thing for our country. It's not a good thing for millions of people to be identifying with being outlaws. But that's what they have to do if they're going to be taking any of the medicines that are in my book, Psychedelic Medicine. They become outlaws. That's not right. And something about that has to change. I'm hoping that we're seeing a slight movement towards a renaissance in changing some of these really reprehensible legislations. MDMA is also being used against Sub Rosa, Dr. Red, by the ministry for the very reason that you brought up earlier in the program. It gives them an entheogenic experience, a meeting with God, a meeting with greater spirits, if you want to look at it that way, a sense of connectedness. One of the things that's happened to me personally when I took the LSD way back before it became illegal is that I had a very immediate understanding of how, at an emotional level, not intellectual, but emotional, immediate emotional understanding that every human being on the planet is connected, that we're wow. all really, that we're all really part of one large organism. And that furthermore, I had the realization, and I believe this 40-odd years later to this very moment, that the Earth itself is not just a big ball of dirt flying through space. The Earth, our planet, is a living, breathing organism. And all of us are part of that organism. All of us are cells on the organism, the animals and the trees and the rocks and the water and the land and people and so on. We are all part of this one living, breathing organism. We're all cells right on it. We're all connected. And that's why it's so important. That's why it's so important. Pardon?
I'm going to take a breath here and come back in after these messages.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need Success No Therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Do you or somebody you love have a struggle with abuse? You don't need to be a slave to your abuse anymore. Listen for Beyond Abuse, Beyond Therapy, Beyond Anything with Dr. Lisa Cooney. Dr. Lisa overcame struggles in her own life. 2 decades of sexual, emotional, and physical abuse nearly took their toll. In her 20s, she turned her life around and set upon a path to help others. She can help you find the key to take control of your life, too. Listen every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with the angel of alternative medicines. These are really alternative. They're psychedelic medicines. And we were talking on the break, and this book that he wrote is so wonderful. It took me a long time to go through it because usually I photo read, but I photo read it and then I went back and read every word because it's too interesting to skip a word. And so it's too interesting to have on one show. He's going to come back and visit us again. So today we're going to talk about these psychedelic medicines. And then there was a just terrific chapter, hair-raising, but terrific, on the history of psychiatric care. And I'm telling you, sit down, have a soothing cup of chamomile tea when you listen to the next show. The history of psychiatric care in America, will give you the willies. And we're going to talk about that and prescription meds the next time he comes back. So you do want to listen to the next time that Dr. Richard Lewis Miller comes back, because this is a fascinating book, a psychedelic medicine, and you can get it through his website, which will be on my site. And you want to read this book. It's fascinating. So we talked about LSD, MDMA, and now we want to talk, you said psilocybin and ayahuasca. They're very interesting. Well, we can't say medicines because they won't let us give them out as medicines.
Well, they are medicines, but they're not legal medicines at this time in this country, but they are medicines. And I'll give you an example now of a medicinal use of psilocybin, which you mentioned is the third one for us to discuss. Psilocybin is a mushroom that grows out of the ground. It's a natural organism, and it has a psychedelic effects. And one scientist named Dr. Roland Griffiths, and Dr. Karen McLean at Johns Hopkins, the very noted Johns Hopkins University, did a very interesting study. They took people who were suffering from depression. They gave them various psychological tests for depression, and then they put them through a special protocol. A protocol is a method of administering a medicine according to a certain procedure. It's called a protocol. And they put them through this procedure, which included one, I'm underlining the word one, trying to do it with my voice, one administration of psilocybin. Then they followed these depressed folks for an entire year, and at the end of the year, they retested them. And what they found was that as a result of one administration, a year later, there were still significant improvements in their depressed state.
Wow.
This is groundbreaking, Dr. Red, because until this study came about, the only thing the United States public, including the scientists, were aware of for depression were medicines called SSRIs, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. It's a big, long word, but basically what it is you take a medicine such as Prozac or Luvox or Anafrinil or Zoloft, and
you take them forever?
You take them every single day for the entire 365 days and maybe for the rest of your life. And the reason they're called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors is because they stop a neurochemical called serotonin. They stop it from moving around, if you will, in the brain. The brain has little junction boxes in it, similar to a junction box that you have in your house, where two electrical wires come together, and then there's a box, and often you have electrical outlet in the box where you put in your appliance. And we call it a junction box. In the brain, we call it a synapse. It's a place where nerve endings go in one side, called axons, and nerve endings come out the other side. Dendrites. Dendrites go away. So you have to picture one tube going into a box and 20 tubes going out the other side. So the stuff that went in the box is dispersed, and it goes out through all the tubes and goes to different parts of the brain. The SSRIs go into that box, and it stops the chemicals from going into those 20 tubes. That's the mechanism that is used, and that is supposedly reduces depression. Well, first of all, You have to take them 365 days a year. Roland Griffiths, Drs. Griffiths and McLean showed the world, here's a medicine you can take once. So, of course, the pharmaceutical companies are lobbying like crazy to keep this psilocybin illegal as long as possible, because it's something that grows in the ground, and almost any human being can grow it in their kitchen. Once you can grow it in your kitchen, all you need is a book and some help and a guide to guide you through the right protocol, and you could be treating yourself without the expense of 365 days of taking the big pharma's medicine. So they're very upset about it. But more compelling is the fact that a high-level investigative journalist, Robert Whitaker, writes a book that your listeners should check into called Anatomy of an Epidemic, and he points out that these SSRIs not only don't modulate or help depression, they create chaos in the brain.
Oh, great.
And he points out that the pharmaceutical companies got these medicines through the FDA with very shabby research. Then along comes Dr. Julie Holland, Harvard psychiatrist, publishes a book called Moody Bitches. She's analyzing why it is that so many women in America seem to have these huge mood swings, so that they get called moody bitches by their husband. Lo and behold, what she finds is that there is a negative interaction between birth control pills and SSRIs. So there are tens of millions of women in this country who are taking both birth control pills and SSRIs and are unaware of the fact that these two in combination are literally driving them crazy. Dangerous.
Nobody noticed this? All these women are on birth control? Nobody noticed?
Nobody noticed the interaction until Julie Holland came along. They took note of the interaction between the SSRIs and the birth control pills. That is correct, Dr. Red. And there are all kinds of things of medicines in our society that interact negatively, and that's why the public is really in danger when they go to more than one doctor. Because if you go to two or three or four doctors for different ailments, because we live in an age of specialization where you got to go to one doctor for your nose and one doctor for your stomach and one doctor for your genitals and one doctor for your ears, each of these four doctors could be prescribing the right medicine for the particular thing you have, but it doesn't necessarily mean, and it's rare, that those four doctors are going to call each other on the phone and say, hey, I just saw Alice Smith, and I gave her so-and-so. What are you giving her? It doesn't happen. So instead, we've got people taking 2, 3, and 4 medications from 2, 3, and 4 doctors, and very often, sadly, the medicines interact negatively with one another, and they jeopardize the health and safety of the patient. Well, that's what Julie Holland pointed out with regard to birth control pills and SSRIs.
That's insane. The specialization thing is so crazy that I fell, and I had seen an orthopedist for my foot, but I hurt my knee. And I couldn't see the same doctor because there's a foot doctor, a knee doctor, a hand doctor. That's insane. I thought, what happened to orthopedists? They're crazy.
It's a system that needs help.
And they all will. They do prescribe different stuff. And I'm going, it's all the same appendage. So,
That's why nowadays, Dr. Ed, I tell all of my patients that when you go to a doctor or when you go to the hospital, if at all possible, bring an advocate. An advocate is a friend or a family member who will listen to what's going on and take notes and possibly record the session with a phone so that you can go home and go over what the doctor said carefully, take note of what was prescribed, and then the advocate should help you check about negative interactions between what the medicine that doctor just prescribed and what else you might possibly be on.
An advocate
is so important, Dr. Red, because, you know, so often when we are in a situation where we have to go to the doctor or we have to go to the hospital, we're not the best witness to what's going on because we're already suffering in pain that's bringing us to them.
Seriously, you're sick, but I have actually had a hospital not understand the migraine medicine I was on. It was a compound medicine, and the hospital didn't get it. I said, I'm taking this. It's a compound medicine. They didn't know what it was. I said, it's a compound of this and this, and they didn't know what it was. The hospital didn't.
Some of the original work in England using LSD in the research back when it was still legal in the 60s and 50s, 1950s and 60s, was on using LSD for cluster headaches. And they had huge success. And there is research going on again now in England on the use of LSD with cluster headaches. There's also research going on now with a company called GW.
We missed a break. We were so interesting. We totally missed a break. Sorry about that.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need success no therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
How do you define work? Is it that mundane Monday through Friday place that seems to be sucking a third of your life out of you? Or have you made it a place of personal fulfillment, achievement, and purpose? If you are looking to make your work life the latter, tune in to Working on Purpose with Elise Cortez. There are all kinds of inspiring work-life stories told by people who have made work something to look forward to every day. Working on Purpose can be heard every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Empowerment.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with such an extraordinary guest, Dr. Richard Lewis Miller, that I totally forgot my break cues. See, and that doesn't happen that often. So, you know, this guy knows what he's doing. He had me just totally hypnotized. So we're gonna have to have him back for another time. We'll figure out what date, but it will be one of the four Tuesdays in February. And before we go on and I ask him another question, because I'll miss my break again, I have to pull my angel. We have an angel and gem card that we do each week. And so this week, and I don't pick the cards pick me. It came up with the stone amber. And amber, you know, is a master healing stone. And it says, are you allowing someone or something to drain your energy? Ooh, yes. So establish boundaries, surround yourself in a protective shield to deflect the negative energy, and tap into the ancient wisdom within to transform your life. And on the other side, this card was brought to you by the Angel of Boundaries. And your affirmations for today are, I have the courage to set boundaries with love and grace. I am protected from negative energy. I am connected with powerful ancient wisdom that keeps me safe and provides me with the know-how to make positive changes. So that's your card for the week. And then, I don't know if I want to give Dr. Miller a chance with this one, because I know what his rant is going to be. But every week we have the rant of the week. And the rant of the week is, what makes you so mad that you see red like Dr. Red does? And whatever it is, see, you have to let out your rant of the week, because if you hold it in, it'll just fester and you'll end up having a stroke or a coronary or something. So you gotta let out your rant of the week. And whatever it is, if you put it on my webpage or on my Facebook page, and whoever has the best rant of the month wins a Dr. Red wig, and you're an honorary member of the Dr. Redhead Society. So what is it that makes you see red, whoa, and blow up? And if you win the rant of the month, if you're in San Diego, I'll come and actually put the red wig on you and we'll take a picture. If you're not in San Diego, I'll mail you a Dr. Red wig. So, Dr. Miller, what's your rant of the week?
Well, you know, we're here talking about my book, Psychedelic Medicine, and I am upset about the fact that the government has been so suppressive of university and high-level research for 50 years. But my rant of the week, the thing that really upsets me the most, is the fact that we now have 71% of the United States public who are obese or overweight, and nothing is being done about it on a national, state, or county-wide level. Dr. Red, if 71% of the United States got a common cold, it would make national headlines. If 71% of the United States stubbed their toes the same day, it would make national headlines. If 71% of the country did almost anything, it would make national news on a regular basis. Yet we have 71.2% of the country right now who are overweight or obese, suffering mightily, suffering psychologically, suffering physically, coming down with so much diabetes that one out of every three children born right now is going to have diabetes. We have a national epidemic, and the government is just blind to it, and that makes me mad.
Man, I know. I lost 150 pounds. It was not easy.
Oh, my gosh. Bless your heart. What an achievement. Oh, my gosh. I hope you talk about that on your radio show till the listeners are blue in the face. What a wonderful achievement.
We did. It was part of the brain tumor pretty much helped me put it on, because I was paralyzed for quite a while. I took it back off because I did not like being, so I've been on both sides. I started as a model. I was skinny. Then I got really fat with the brain tumor. And now I'm back to a size 6 again. And oh boy, do I like that.
No kidding. I am so with you. I was 100 pounds heavier than I am right now, too. And I can't be happier that I got rid of it. It was such a terrible condition to be in. It was terrible, as you well know. It was hard for me psychologically. It was hard physically. It was hard in every way possible. And my heart just goes out to the people who are suffering from this and wishing that we could get together as a country and do something for them.
Well, I do offer hypnosis for weight loss, and it's painless, it's easy, you can change your frame of mind, and there's other ways to do it, but hypnosis is painless.
Yeah, good for you, good for you.
How did you do it?
So, we have a little time left. I mentioned the psilocybin. You want me to, should I go on to the fourth medicine in the book?
Yeah, really quick.
Yeah, I'll go quick. Ayahuasca, for me, is the least important of the four, because it's clear to me from the research that has been done legally and properly that LSD and MDMA and psilocybin have huge therapeutic potential. I'm less convinced with ayahuasca, but we need more research. I can sum it up by saying there really just isn't enough research on it. It comes from Peru. It's a plant. It's actually two plants that are mixed together, and it has been used down there. But again, we don't have research, and there is some research on it in my book. There are people who are getting benefit, but I'm a guy who, until I see more research, I wait and withhold judgment. I include it in the book because it's popular. It's having a worldwide renaissance, and people are getting, particularly chemically dependent people, are coming back with anecdotal stories about success. But I think for now...
You got to choke it down. It's a bitter, horribly tasting tea.
Well, that's another aspect of it, Dr. Red. Anything that makes you regurgitate, I'm a bit suspicious of. And when I talk to Dr. Stephen Beyer, who's an ethnobotanist, and Dennis McKenna, who's in my book, who's an ethnobotanist, and asked him about that regurgitation, they both acknowledged it to me that the vegetable matter is actually a natural emetic. And the way ayahuasca was discovered by the natives was that their food was contaminated many hundreds of years ago, and they had no way of knowing it, and so they often ate food that was bad, and they needed to find things that make them throw up so that when they ate something bad, they wouldn't be poisoned. And they discovered that ayahuasca, when they ate it, made them throw up. But they also discovered these major side effects, which are hallucinatory. And that was when they stopped using it, and they went on to other emetics. An emetic is something that makes you regurgitate.
Yeah, no thanks.
No thanks.
Yeah, I'd rather just drop a drop of acid. That's okay.
The latest thing that's happening now with LSD, maybe we can finish up on this, and with psilocybin, is something called microdosing. I'm sure many of your patients are familiar with taking homeopathic doses of various things in order to get a positive effect. Microdosing is taking a homeopathic dose of LSD or psilocybin. You do not go through various changes in your mind. You don't even notice that you've taken it. But at the end of the day, you notice that you've had a different kind of a day, and it's a very positive day. So it's extremely subtle. It's extremely subtle. It appears to be extremely safe. And Ayelet Waldman, whom I interviewed on my radio show, Mind, Body, Health, and Politics, that you mentioned earlier, she wrote a book called A Really Good Day, and the reason she called it A Really Good Day is she took it. She'd been depressed for 20 years, taken every medicine her psychiatrist gave her. Nothing helped. She took a microdose of LSD, noticed nothing, but at the end of the day, she said to her husband, "Gee, I just noticed I had a really good day."
Oh, good, because that's a great place to stop. I've got 1 minute to thank you so much for coming. And I look forward to having you back. This has been one of the best shows I've ever had, and I just love you so much. So
thank you.
Please come back. And next week we're going to have Dr. Steve Jones, who is going to talk about PTSD and hypnosis. And you guys remember that it is okay to flip your wig, but it is not okay to lose your mind. So we will see you next week with Dr. Steve Jones. And we'll talk about hypnosis and PTSD. See y'all.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.